All right. 1 John 4:7 says, God is love. If you do not know God, you do not know love. And love casts out fear, which brings me to my next point. To throw means to cast without care of where it lands. Love casts out fear. Now, a couple things that would be put in the category with fear is stress, worry, insecurity, unfaithfulness. Later in the podcast that I was reading, it says it is okay to have questions for God, but it is not okay to question His faithfulness or His love, ever. Because when He says something, He's also said in His word, what my yes be yes, my no be no, and what He says is truth. If He says He loves you, then He loves you. Now, we as human beings like promises, we like guarantees, but we don't need those. If God says He loves us, if God says He's going to do something for us, it's going to happen. But yet we get afraid because we treat God like we would any other human being, even though He's not. The only thing that can get rid of fear is love. That's it. Faith is not the words in the Bible. Faith is the one who spoke the words and they are on that page. So when we have faith, it's not in the book itself. It's in the person who wrote it. Because the book is just a tool. We do not put our faith... We don't put our faith in words, we put it in the Creator of the words, who constantly shows us through divine action the words are indeed truth. To know God is to know love, because God, again, is love. And we always need to keep that in mind. Always. We shouldn't need promises from God to know that He'll protect us. God loves us, and just as a father loves his son, He will do anything to protect, teach, and help him. He gives us the promise to reassure us. And because naturally humans are skeptical, we are worrisome creatures. Another thing Keith Moore said that really jived with me is this, and it goes along with a lot of people nowadays. When someone is going through their season of rebellion and, you know, just wants to do everything themselves, they won't let anybody help them. They want to be stupid, so you got to let them be stupid. Because otherwise, they're not going to learn. Now, we want to help people like that because they're basically a ticking time bomb, self-destructive, very out of line. But until they want your help and what you have to say, it doesn't matter what you say. They're just going to end up hating you by the end of the day. And what he said was, it doesn't matter how much resources anybody in the world has, unless you have the faith that they'll help you, the resources won't do anything. God delights in giving us mercy, and He extends it to us constantly. You know, and He uses the word delights. That means He loves to do it. So if God loves to give us mercy, that must mean He does love us indeed. It is not a one-time deal or a three-strike system. We must be constantly living at the floodgates of heaven so that we can receive things from God to impart to others and enrich our own walk with the Father. God loves you so much that He knows every single hair on your head. Now, I myself live with myself, and I don't know every hair on my head, let alone sometimes the days of the week, but... And again, this is very important. It is okay to have questions, but it is not okay to question God's love or His faithfulness, ever. Because, I mean, He shows it. And Keith Moore also says, everything in this world, every day, the sun setting, the sun rising, all for us. You know, when it rains outside, and when everything gets green and bright and sunny, that's for us. So every day and everything that happens in your life and around you is a testament that God does love you. That doesn't mean that bad things won't happen, because we do live in a fallen, broken world. It just means that there is beauty around us and there is also evil. You just need to learn to recognize the beauty all around you. Because if you don't, all you're going to see is the evil. And then you're going to skip right over the beauty, whether it's there or not. Lack of faith comes from questioning God's love. Ben told me that our logic doesn't always have to line up with our faith. And I believe this to be very true. Because when we start questioning God's love, that doesn't come from our spirit. That comes from your mind. That comes from the logical standpoint. Because a lot of us have been hurt by many, many people many, many times. And then we start to wonder, you know, I can't see God. Sometimes I don't feel like I can hear him. Maybe he's rejecting me. And as humans, one of our biggest fears is not dying. It's not being tortured. It's not drowning. It's rejection. You know, I mean, I know some people that would rather take a gun to the head than be rejected. So that's one thing you cannot do. You cannot let logic get in the way of your faith, because if you do, it will rip it down piece by piece. And it's very subtle, too, because, you know, your spirit speaks very loud, but when it starts to become dull because of your logic, you can't really hear it anymore. And then you just become complacent, you become weak, and you just slide down back to square one. And sometimes you go even further. All right. Now, we're all going to say this real loud. You guys awake enough to say this with me? All right. Three very, very simple words. God loves me. Now, God loves your neighbor. He loves your friend. He even loves you, I think. Now, on the count of three, as loud as you can, God loves me. One, two, three. God loves me. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
How much? Sometimes it really doesn't feel like it logically, but spiritually, if you really tap into it, he does. And you know, God will always love us, but the only reason it doesn't feel like he does is because we lose touch. We're not spending the time with him, so we feel distant, and then we blame it on him because that's easy to do. So, who is God love?
Yes.
That's correct. Now, there are two very large reasons why God loves us. First off, the Bible tells me and you so. Second off, Jesus says in John 17:23, Jesus says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Simple as that. That's all you need. God loves you like he loves his own son in 1 John 3:1. We are equal to Jesus. He loves us just as much. And that's saying something. And God, at the end of all the oppression, at the end of everything, at the end of time, God will make the world see that he loves us the most. And we indeed are blessed. I mean, look at your life. Yeah, you have a couple bad days. You have a couple bad things that happen in your week. But look at where we are. We live in America. We may not be thriving the way we want to be, but we have enough money to go out and do things that we want to do. We have enough money to survive, send your kids to college. Things are working out, whether we see them or not. And in the long run, God will always take care of us. He will always be there for us. The other day, I slipped up, and when I was out getting the mail, I said, God, do you think I should start an account, a savings account, just in case after I send my kid to rehab? And he stopped me right there. And he said, what? And I was like, oh, I'm not being trusting and I'm not being faithful here. So I rearranged my thinking, because first off, there's no more generational curses on me. My kid's not going to have to go through that. And second off, if my kid does indeed have to go to rehab, God's going to provide. And I'm not going to have to worry about that. I'm not going to have to start some special savings in fear. Because that's not how God operates. Everything in the world, again, is geared to make Christians feel insignificant because the devil's envious of us and the love that God shows towards us. You know, Lucifer was one of God's like favorite angels, and he was the angel of worship. But because he decided to be rebellious, he got kicked out of heaven. He lost favor with God. And now, because we get it so freely, he's jealous of that, and he hates that. So all his agenda is to destroy us because of jealousy. Now, I know there's not any sun shining out this morning, but it's behind those clouds, and it's for you. And even in this fallen world, everything around us is still beautiful. And I think that is all I have. Next.
Thank you. All right, everybody get your Bibles out. We're going to have to make this quick. Yep, we're going to have to make this quick. I got a lot to say. God put a lot on my heart yesterday. I thought I was going to talk about surrender, but he led me a complete different direction last night. So, okay. So I've been pretty much addicted to Sid Roth. And I know that half of the church is already addicted, so I'm going to get the other half addicted right now, okay? Lately, God has been dealing with me in belief and unbelief. And it's amazing, because you watch these Sid Roth videos, and you're like, you know, like at first, the world part of me comes up and is like, that sounds crazy. Like, translation? Going from, like, going into the bathroom and then coming out in London? That's just crazy. And then I'm like, well, wait a second. God can do anything. God can do anything, and his power is inside of us. So why wouldn't I be able to do anything in God's name, right? Okay, so that's what he's been doing. And also, lately, financially, we haven't had a lot of money lately. And so, you know, instead of believing God for, you know, the fun, or, you know, I need to, okay, lately I haven't been believing God for the funds. I've been believing in, you know, money from when we sell the truck or when we get the certification for Micah's business, you know, and believing in the things of this world. But, and then I talked to Mr. and Mrs. Mosier, and they were telling me that God's been dealing with them in the same thing, and other people have come to them and said that God's been dealing with them in the same thing. So God's working with us to get in that place of belief, that we're believing from him. We're believing him for these things, not our paycheck or, you know, stuff like that. So what is belief? Well, I looked it up in Esau to see what it said, and it said the truthfulness of God's word. Okay. Now bear with me. It's not what it kind of sounds bad, but it's not. In other words, if you're living in belief, you believe all of God's word, not just some of it, you know? And you believe that it's the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, okay? And so, like, if you're in disbelief or unbelief, you, like, maybe, like, if it says always, you're just like, oh, sometimes God will do this, or sometimes, you know, and you make excuses, and you, like, let me see, I have an example here. Like Mr. Mosier always says, some people are like, oh, I don't really believe that God can heal me. You know what I mean? Everybody's always like, they don't say it right out. Like, I don't really, or sometimes they even do, and they're like, I don't really believe that, you know? And it's like, God can do anything. Why wouldn't he be able to heal us, you know? Let's go to Matthew 17:20. Whenever I do this, so that's good, being fed with the word. 17:20, and it says, he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is, your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living, like the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. God created this world. He moved mountains when he created it, okay? And if he can do that, and his same power is in us, we can move mountains. So thus, and I'm kind of using this as a metaphor, if there's a problem in our life, we can move it. Because if we can, okay, and then think of how big a mountain is and how small our problem is compared to how big a mountain is. If we can move the mountain that's giant, we can move a tiny little problem, okay? And a lot of us, like, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes we just don't believe that. Let's see here. Back in the day, and I was talking to Mrs. Mosier about this, you know, back in the day of Jesus, miracles were just so common. They happened all the time. People were, like, used to it. If someone translated to a different place, they're like, oh, okay, you know? But if that happened nowadays, like, because the world wants us to make us think that miracles don't happen, that they don't. Like, you look, turn on the news, what do you see? Destruction and chaos, right? So that's all you see. And now I think God is wanting us to get back to that place where it's common and we're not freaked out by it. And we're like, oh, cool, that's awesome. You know, instead of like, that's strange. I don't know if I believe that this person really did that, you know? And let's see here. So we need to build up our faith, because that's what it's about. We need to build up our faith so that we can believe for these miracles. And I was watching another Sid Roth video last night with Mr. and Mrs. Mosier, and there's this guy that was prophesying these things, okay, that were going to happen in this country, like famine. There's going to be a shortage of food, a shortage of water, that cities are going to evacuate because there's a shortage of water, you know? And we need, and he, right now is the time that he's preparing us so that we can believe, so that we don't have to be without, just like the rest of the country. So it is so important to know this now and to get it in us now so that we can believe for anything. Because he said, he prophesied that people would put pots on their table, empty pots, Christians would. And then they would pray over their food, the food that wasn't there. And then they would open the pots, and there would be food in the pots. Okay? This is what we need to be able to do. And he didn't say just one family was doing this. All Christian families were doing this. So we need to build up our faith enough so that we can do that when the hard times come, so that they're not hard for us. Okay? And so I have a really fast, like a steps to living in belief. 6 steps, okay? First one. Hold on a second. Surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself and all your problems to God. Okay? Second one. Build your faith on the rock of his word. Okay? And let's see here. Go to Luke 8:12. Let's see here. It says, those along the traveled road are people who have heard. The devil comes and carries away the message out of their hearts. So that's what the devil's here to do, is to carry that message of God, the word of God, out of our hearts. And that they may not believe, acknowledge me as their Savior, and devote themselves to me and be saved here and hereafter. And those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, receive and welcome it with joy. With these, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of trial and temptation fall away and withdraw and stand aloof. So we need to not do that. We need to build ourselves up with his word, get in it every day, and build a foundation with his word. Instead of when, you know, you're like, oh yes, I believe that this can happen. And then when, like, you get to it and you're like, they fall away. And you're like, I don't really know if I believe in this, you know. You really have to build up your faith. The third thing, identify areas in your life of unbelief. Okay? And what do you think you do with that? You speak to it. You speak against it. Move your mountain. You speak to your mountain and remove the unbelief. Now go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. It says, "Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes what he says will take place, and it will be done for him. For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it." So if there's this mountain in your life, this problem, this thing that's causing you to unbelief, rip it out. What you do is you speak against it. Don't sit there and think in your head, "Oh Lord, free me of this." Speak to the condition. He's already given us the power to do it. He's already given us with his word. We can speak to it and move mountains ourselves. He didn't say, "I will speak it for you if you ask me to." He said, "You speak it and you remove it." Okay? So that's a big thing right there. Okay, 5, repent for your unbelief. That's a big important thing that people kind of miss. And then 6, when in doubt, when thoughts from the devil come in to doubt you, use the word of God to fight it, because it's our sword. We use that to fight off the devil. And he's going to keep coming after you. That's what he does, is he keeps coming after you. But if you build yourself up, he can't come against you. Okay, hold on a second. I have just a few more scriptures that are really good that I want to talk about really fast. It says in Mark 9:23 that all things are possible in God. In Mark 9:24, there's a prayer that says, "Help with my unbelief." Okay, this is just so that you guys. 4? Oh, speak to your mountain. Okay, yeah. Sorry, did I not say that? I'm sorry. Sorry, I can't count. No, I'm just kidding. Mark 11:24, it says, "When you pray and you believe, then you shall receive it." And I didn't write anything down from Mark 16:16 through 18. So let's go to that and see what that says. 16:3. "He who believes, adheres to, and trusts in, and relies on the gospel, and him who sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to, and trust in, and rely on the gospel, and him whom it set forth, will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe in my name, and they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well." So it says that in our word. So you should believe it, because that's what God said. And if you don't believe that, then you're living in unbelief, because you have to believe the truth of his word, everything. Not just some of it, everything. And it may sound crazy, because we live in this world where miracles don't happen, because that's what the world wants you to think, but they do happen. We've seen them happen. Whether you're in denial about it or not, we've seen them happen, okay? And we can do it. So that's what I just wanted to talk to you about today, was belief and unbelief, and I hope it didn't convict you too much. All right, bye.
Let's give them both another hand clap. Praise God. Praise God. He's given us the victory. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, we come together. I thank you, Lord, we received from your word, Lord. We have been edified and we grow closer to you every day. In your name I pray. Amen.
Why don't you go ahead and greet one another while we get ready for our main service here in a few minutes. So...